We've been discussing the subject of a passion for a healthy church. That's been our theme for the new year. And last week, Pastor Angela gave an installment on that subject. A healthy church has members who are in love with Jesus. That was the subject last week, and the topic was looking for love. A lot of people are looking for love, and they're so delighted when they find out how much Jesus loves them, and he loves them unconditionally. How many of you were thrilled when you found out that Jesus loved you unconditionally? Wasn't that a great thing to know that he looks past your sins, he's willing to wash our sins away, he's willing to accept us into his family? But then she said there was a little twist in the message, and the twist was that God is looking for your love. As much as we were looking for his love, he is also looking for our love back to him. And today I want to add one more installment to this subject: what constitutes a healthy church? How would you describe a healthy church? Turn to your neighbor and say, how would you describe a healthy church? Well, if you remember from the beginning, a healthy church has a biblical worldview. A healthy church is missional. It's on a mission. It's outwardly focused. It's going somewhere. Say, a church is going somewhere. And last week, as I just mentioned, a healthy church has members who are in love with Jesus. And today I want to talk about a healthy church has members who have a personal lifestyle of praise and worship. A healthy church consists of people who have a personal lifestyle of praise and worship, not just on Sunday mornings, not when just everything's going your way, not just playing a gospel tune on the radio. Praise and worship can happen 24/7. Somebody say amen. It could happen in the office when you're singing a little tune to yourself. It doesn't even have to be out loud. You can be praising God in the shower. Somebody say amen. You know, like they say, you know, dance like nobody's looking. Well, I want to suggest this morning, praise like nobody is looking. Hallelujah. Because we are not praising God for our performance. It's not so others might see, you know, wow, he has a nice voice or she's really good. That's not what it's about. God is the audience. God is the only audience that we should be praising. Amen? We should be praising for him. So I want to share with you this morning, the first thought is that praise is a sacrifice. It is not just something that we do when we're feeling good. In the Old Testament, they brought sacrifices of animals, and they would have to go, first of all, to the pool of Siloam. They'd have to wash themselves ceremonially in order to present themselves to God. And then they brought the animal sacrifice, and the priest would have to inspect the sacrifice. So they go to the priest. The priest would make sure that the sacrifice was proper, was kosher, and all of those other things. And then the priest would offer on your behalf the sacrifice. But we don't have to go through any human priest anymore. Hallelujah. For the Bible says, through him, in Hebrews 13:15, in the Amplified Version, it says, through him, that is Christ, let us at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips that can thankfully acknowledge and confess his holy name. Again, I want to reiterate, if you didn't get it, we don't have to go to the pool of Siloam. Somebody say amen, which still exists in Jerusalem, by the way. We don't have to walk up to the temple. We don't have to show a dove or a lamb or other kind of sacrifice to the priest. The priest doesn't have to go in our place to offer a sacrifice. We can go right before the throne of grace and right into the Holy of Holies and worship the Lord God Almighty who created us. Hallelujah. And we can do it all day long. And it doesn't cost anything. Like, you don't have to buy any animals. Hallelujah. All it costs is the devotion from your heart. God's sacrifice, God's praise is a sacrifice of praise. That's the first principle. And it's at all times. I remember the story was told of Oral Roberts, who was a great healing evangelist from the 50s and 60s and 70s. Some of you may remember him. One of his sons was killed in a plane crash. And he was interviewed on one of the Christian programs, and they asked how he was dealing with the loss of his son. And he said, because I determined in my heart not to blame God, I decided that the first thing I would do was fall on my knees and worship. When I heard of the death of my son, I went by myself in a private place. I got down on my knees, and the first thing I did is that I worshiped God. And then the healing of my hurt is still continuing because God is close to me. God is near to me. Job experienced the loss of everything. Job. Don't ever pray for the patience of Job. Somebody say amen. And Job did the same thing. Satan tested him, and God allowed the test. The first thing Job did was he fell down, and he worshiped the Lord. He said, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Whew. That's what you call a sacrifice of praise. It's not just when the check comes in or the job promotion or everything. And those are good things. Nothing wrong with good things happening to us. Thank God we celebrate good things. But God is looking for our praise in the midnight hour. God is looking for our praise when the boss yelled at us, hallelujah. Or we've been overlooked for the promotion, and we're going to praise him anyhow, hallelujah. And we've had to learn this ourselves. It is a spiritual quality. Praising God and sacrificing the praise of God is something that you grow into as you mature as a Christian. And the stronger you become as a Christian, the more you realize that praise is not dependent on your circumstances. Somebody ought to say amen to that. It doesn't depend on our circumstances. And it's not just about singing songs. Praise is the love that comes from your heart. It's the verbalized faith that you have. It's the adoration that you have for God. It's the sincere love that just bubbles over. And you don't want anybody else. Like often is said, we don't want the rocks to outpraise us, right? Jesus said, if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. And somebody wrote a song and said, no rock is going to take my place. Come on now. It's a clever song, isn't it? I don't want no rock to take my place. Jesus said, if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. Somebody's going to praise God. Why not you? Why not me? Hallelujah. The atmosphere of heaven is filled with praise. We're going to a place where the angels are crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. There will be praise in heaven. The atmosphere will be filled with praise. Let me read a scripture to you from Revelation that John the apostle saw as he met Jesus Christ in this vision that he had, in this encounter that resulted in the book of Revelation being written. In chapter 5, he says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice, they were saying, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. We just sang it. Amen. Who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in the sea saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped him. Hallelujah. Woo! You talk about a Steven Spielberg movie right there. You got the drama, you've got the color, you've got the texture, you've got the sounds of an amazing, amazing encounter with the supernatural. Hallelujah. No movie producer could ever outdo what God has done. Praise opens you up to God. It takes your eyes off yourself. Somebody say, it takes my eyes off myself. And puts our eyes on a magnificent Father in heaven who can supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. How many of you have ever been tempted to have a little pity party? Come on, be honest. We've all been there. Why not turn that pity party into a praise and worship session? Amen. God, praise and worship gives love and honor that he deserves from our heart. Psalm 100, verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Hallelujah. What would happen if we took our eyes off ourselves? We became less self-conscious and more God-conscious. And don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you ever struggle with being self-conscious? You're afraid of meeting new people. You feel shy. You feel inadequate. You tend to think less of yourself, and you have problems with your self-image and self-esteem. And the best thing for that is to get God-conscious, because in God's sight, you are honored. In God's sight, you are esteemed. In God's sight, you are redeemed by his precious blood. You see the value that you have in his sight. Can you say amen? But praise requires us to be humble and vulnerable before him. It's an expression of love and appreciation and awe. And it's not just our thoughts and it's our words. It's also our actions. There are many ways you can praise God with clapping. You can praise God with singing. You can praise God with instruments, those of you who play instruments. You could praise God in the dance. And you know what? You can praise God just by a life of obedience. Because this is also your reasonable worship. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that acceptable and perfect will of God. So doing the will of God from a heart of obedience is also an act of worship to God. It's even more than just singing. Peter and the disciples fell down before Jesus when they saw Jesus walking on the water. And, Jesus invited Peter to come out of the boat. And then Jesus walked back into the boat with Peter and the rest of the disciples. And all of a sudden, the wind and the storm died down. And as they were awestruck by who this was, they fell down. And the Bible says they worshiped him. How often are we awestruck by God? Or do we just think of God as sort of like a life preserver, somebody we just kind of call on when we're in trouble? Somebody, you're like an insurance policy. Are you with me this morning? You know, if you don't think God is that great, why would you worship him? Come on, that's past getting real right now. Why would you worship somebody if you don't admire them? If you don't think they're fantastic? If you're not excited? You know, we worship him because he's pure, he's holy, he's mighty, he's good. Hallelujah. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He holds all the power of the whole universe in his hands. The Bible says that he spoke the worlds into existence, and he sustains all things by the mighty word of his power. Who is like unto you, O God? Hallelujah. Awesome in holiness and fearful in wonders. There is none like him. No one else can touch my heart like he does. No one else can save me. No one else has risen from the dead. No one else has pardoned my sin. No one else sits enthroned at the right hand of the majesty of God. And there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. It's only the name of Jesus that can save us. Are you getting the point this morning that he is worthy of praise? He's worthy of adoration. How in the world could you come into the presence of the King of Kings and get sleepy? Turn to your neighbor and say, don't you dare fall asleep. The king is here. The king is here. How could you sleep in the presence of the king? Come on now. Pastor Dave making it real this morning. While Jesus was blessing the apostles, he left and was taken up into heaven. They fell down and worshipped him. Acts 24, 51 to 53, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually in the temple praising God. Continually in the temple praising God, verse 53. And it's not just the apostles that are called to worship. God is waiting and looking for us to worship. The Bible says in John chapter 4, he is seeking those who will what? Worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4, 24. But a time is coming, and even now has arrived, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks. Say the word, seeks. John 4, 24. That's such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. Can you imagine that God is looking for us? He has your name. He has my name in his heart, in his mind, and he's looking for the praise that comes from you. Have you shortchanged God in the praise department? Ooh, come on now. Somebody say, don't get mad at the pastor. It's of the highest importance. Praise is an appointment with God. It's not just singing a catchy tune and clapping your hands. And I'm not making fun of that, because we do sing catchy tunes and they get into your mind. And that's a good thing. But sometimes we feel like, well, I sang two songs. I clapped my hand for God. Now I've got the rest of the week to do my thing. Come on now. Praise is a lifestyle. Praise needs to become a lifestyle. Worshiping God needs to be a lifestyle when nobody is looking. When nobody is looking. Hallelujah. It's not so much that God needs this. Acts 17, 25. Paul says, nor is he worshiped with men's hands. Rather, Luke wrote this. Nor is he worshiped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. He doesn't need worship, but we need worship. We need to worship God more than he needs worship. Amen? Because when we worship him from our heart and we offer him this sacrifice of praise, there are mighty blessings that happen in our life. It's a lifestyle that, as we practice, it changes the very fabric of our life. You can tell somebody who's lived always complaining, always finding fault, even on their face. You can sometimes tell right away when a person is just a sourpuss. Come on now, somebody say amen. Did I say that on international? On the other hand, somebody say, on the other hand, have you met a person who was a habitual praiser? They seem to have a glow about them. Somebody who is living in the atmosphere of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing it is to wake up in the morning and shout hallelujah. What a beautiful thing it is to mention the name of Jesus when you're driving your car, when you're laying in bed at night. Hallelujah. When you can't sleep, to walk back and forth and sing the songs of Zion. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thing. What a privilege. Angela's dad, Pastor Moriello, used to love to say, praise is faith in action. When you're praising God, you're saying to God, I don't have it all figured out yet. My circumstances may not be perfect, but you've got me. I believe you care about me, and there's nothing too hard for you. Therefore, I'm going to praise you in advance. Hallelujah. Praise is faith in action. It's exercising your faith, even if you don't have all your problems solved. No wonder David said in Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And as I said before, although we are not made motivated by what benefits we receive, we shouldn't be motivated to praise God because, you know, we cash in on it, you know, because of all the blessings we get. But there are blessings that come. I mean, you know, Paul and Silas were singing hymns in jail. In Acts chapter 16, in the midnight hour, they had just been beaten within an inch of their lives. They were in stocks, probably the lowest point in their life. And yet the Bible says at the midnight hour, they began to sing hymns of praise to God. And who knows what happened in the rest of the story. Do you know what happened? The prison started to shake. God sent an earthquake. Their chains fell off. And they were made free. Hallelujah. And the jailer came in and was amazed by the presence of God. He fell down before them and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Hallelujah. You don't have no idea how close you might be to a breakthrough that might be just one praise away. Hallelujah. 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 One song away. One time of saying no to the depression and saying, "I'm going to praise God instead of being depressed." Hallelujah. Yeah, this person didn't do right by me, and a lot of things are going wrong, but I'm going to keep on loving God. Hallelujah. I'm going to keep on expressing my love for him. Hallelujah. Jehoshaphat, King Jehoshaphat sent a choir out in front of the army. And as they sing, "The Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever." You know what happened? The enemy was all confused. They didn't even have to raise a sword or shoot an arrow. That God went in front of them, and the angel of the Lord destroyed the army while the choir was singing. Hallelujah! Praise is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. Hallelujah! Your praise forges the way before you. Your praise pushes back the darkness. Hallelujah! I'm prophesying right now to somebody. Your praise pushes back the depression. Hallelujah. Your praise tells the enemy, "You can't have my children." Hallelujah. They belong to the King of Kings. Your praise tells God, "I'm yours, Lord. Use me, Lord, for your glory. Use me, Lord, for your praise." Right, Brother Lanre? Amen. Who was one day in a situation where he was feeling very tried and tested and didn't know what to say to God. And as he opened his mouth, God gave him a brand new song. Hallelujah. We sing it here on Wednesday nights, and we're going to sing it on Sunday too. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. True worship and praise brings heaven down to earth. You ever sing that song, "Heaven came down and glory filled my soul"? Sister Maureen loves gospel music. Hallelujah. She's always sending us some great tunes. But the presence of God is involved in praise. It says in Psalm 22, "The Lord sits enthroned on the praises of his people." So when you praise God, you are actually in the presence of the King, because the Bible says the Lord inhabits the praises, or sits as King on his throne. He sits on those praises. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Worshiping is the attitude that God is looking for, you're going to love this, when he's about to do something spectacular. In the book of Joshua, chapter 5, Joshua was getting ready to cross over the Jordan River, getting ready to go into Jericho, destroy that city, that wicked city. And the Bible says before that happened, Joshua was by himself. And as he was about to go to Jericho, he lifted his eyes and looked. And there was a man, we find out later on it was actually an angel, stood opposite him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversary?" So he said, "No, I am the commander of the army of the Lord." That would be Jesus, by the way. Jesus is the commander of heaven's hosts. Amen. "I am the commander of the army of the Lord. I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face and worshipped him and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take the sandals off your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. And then he gives Joshua, if you go on reading, you'll notice that Joshua was given the strategy to march around Jericho 7 times, right after this encounter with Jesus. The attitude of worship prefaces or prepares when God's about to do something through you and in you that is amazing. The first thing he does is says, "Take your shoes off." When God called Moses to the burning bush, come on. "Moses, who are you, Lord? Take the sandals off your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy ground." We need to have some holy ground in our prayer closet. Hallelujah. We need to make this sanctuary holy ground. Hallelujah. We need to march around the property behind us, make it holy ground, because God wants to do something special. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Walls fall down. Enemies are defeated. Darkness and depression, chains fall off. Hallelujah. Supernatural guidance and wisdom comes to ordinary people like Joshua. He didn't know how to beat Jericho. The walls, we've been in Israel, and the walls, they say, were 24 feet thick. 24 feet, that's almost like the width of this building. And archaeologists had discovered, and they've excavated the walls of Jericho, and they said an amazing thing happened. There was a fault line apparently around the walls of Jericho, and something just opened up fault line, and the walls went flat. They went right down. Hallelujah. Because the Bible said, that's what the Bible says, the walls went down and everyone marched straight in. In other words, they didn't have to climb over a bunch of rubble to get into Jericho. The Bible says the walls fell flat, fell down straight. And that every soldier marched straight in. That's what it says. Only God can do that. But it took 7 days of going around the walls, blowing the trumpet before God. There's a whole teaching about trumpets and the use of instruments in the arms, in the hands of godly people, how instruments can be used as a weapon of praise. And then on the seventh day, they marched 7 times, and they all shouted. They all shouted, hallelujah. They all shouted praises to God. They shouted, God is holy. The Lord's mercy endures forever. There is none like you, O God. You are worthy of praise. I'm not the only one this morning who's excited about praising God. Hallelujah. And as they worshiped, the walls came down. Hallelujah. Isaiah said, he gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. And those who wait on the Lord, including prayer and praise and worship, those who wait on the Lord in prayer, praise, and worship shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's something amazing that happens when you come into the presence of God Almighty. Hallelujah. In your presence, Lord, there's healing. In his presence, there is supernatural guidance. In his presence, hallelujah, fears are dispelled. Hallelujah, chains fall off. Hallelujah, depression leaves. Supernatural healing takes place. Hallelujah. There's a story told about a man that had smallpox back many, many years ago. And he was one of these crazy, you know, fanatic praisers. Couldn't get stop him from praising God. And he was praising God in the hospital. And the doctors came in, shh, you got to quiet down. You're making too much noise. You're disturbing all the patients. And he said, no, I can't stop because I'm praising God for every one of these smallpox dots on my body. Might have been a little bit fanatical there, right? But guess what? He got healed. Hallelujah. He got healed. Hallelujah. When my father-in-law was healed, Angela's dad of tuberculosis, he had the loudest voice. He had lungs that were diseased. But then God healed his lung, and he decided, since God healed my lung, I'm going to praise him louder than anybody else. I don't care if I sing in tune or not. You know, the same God who made the nightingale made the crow. Hallelujah. That's what he said. That's right. He said, I might sound like a crow, but God healed me, and I'm going to praise him all my life. Hallelujah. Even children can defeat the enemy through praise. Psalm chapter 8, verse 2. Don't ever forget this verse. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. God shuts the mouth of the enemy even through children who praise him. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. It paves the way for God's power to show up. Psalm 51, verse 23. Anyone who sacrifices thank offerings honors me, and he sets up the way or prepares the way by which I can show him the salvation of God. Praise carves a way for God to enter your situation, for God to get involved in your life. God provides an avenue of through praise for himself to become involved. I love this one. I'm getting ready to close, but I love this one. Praise prepares the hearts for supernatural guidance. The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, this is the apostles and the teachers, and the church in Antioch was a great church. But it was a great church because it was a worshiping church. Somebody say amen. It was a church that prayed. It was a church that fasted. While they were worshiping and the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So it was in that atmosphere of worship. It was during a worship service, if you please, that the Holy Spirit, some prophet stood up and said, the Lord says, set apart Barnabas and Paul. I have a missionary work for them to do. And so started the modern missionary endeavor for the Western civilization. Started right there in Acts chapter 13. Paul and Barnabas went on their first missions trip, and then a second, and then a third. Hallelujah. And the whole world has never been the same since, because the church decided to worship and wait on the Holy Spirit. Can somebody get excited in the house this morning? The last point. The word Judah means what? The word Judah means praise. Judah means praise. So it's interesting if you study the Bible where the word Judah is used. For example, in Hosea chapter 10, verse 11, says, Judah shall plow. Jacob shall break up his hard earth or clods of dirt or clods of earth. Judah shall be like a plow. As a plow moves forward, it breaks up the hard ground, which hinders the growth of the crop. If Judah means praise, then that means that my praise acts as a plow to break up the hard ground and prepare a way for a harvest. Hallelujah. Somebody give God praise. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. A plow moves forward and breaks up the hard ground, which hinders growth. But when the soil is broken up, a great harvest is possible. So today, as we close, may Catalyst International Church be healthy, because we are a church that embraces praise and worship as a lifestyle. As a lifestyle. Somebody say, as a lifestyle. Not just when we feel like it, but we're willing to give God a sacrifice of praise. Would you stand with me right now? Hallelujah. Pastor Angela, would you come to the piano for a second? Hallelujah. Let's stand together. How many of you are willing to give God a sacrifice of praise? The fruit of our lips, giving honor and praise to his name. Hallelujah. The main thing I want to say in closing this morning is this is a condition of the heart. If you have issues about praising God, you're embarrassed. You feel self-conscious. You feel that that's just for ladies, or, you know, that's not for men or people who are strong and independent. We don't praise God. We don't lift our hands. We're strong. We're tough. Listen, I want to tell you, some of the toughest people you would ever read about are in the Bible, and they worship God. They praise God. Jesus himself worshiped the Father. He lifted his hands to Father in John 17 in his high priestly prayer. Would you be willing to be a lifelong worshiper? That's my question to you this morning. Would you be willing to be a lifelong worshiper, not based on circumstance, but based on the love that you have for Almighty God? Hallelujah. Can we put the words up? Hallelujah. Let's sing this chorus together. All hail the power of Jesus. Come on, you know it.
An angel's prostrate form.
That first verse one more time. Sing the first verse again.
All hail the power.
Come on, sing. Come on, sing it like you mean it. For Catalyst International Church. You might say, how is that possible when it was written 100 years ago? Well, you'll see when you read the lyrics, this verse was written for us. Let every tribe, kindred, and tongue give praise to his name. All right, everyone together. That means on the earth. Amen. This morning. If you've never shouted before, shout praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Let the walls come down, Lord. Let the fear go, Lord. Let the depression leave, oh God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let healing come, Lord. Healing to my mind. Put your hand on your heart. Lord, let me be free from my fears, oh God. Let me be free from my inhibitions, O Lord. Free from my foolish pride, Lord. If you're too proud to praise God, then you're too proud. Hallelujah. 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 Praise Him, praise Him, praise Him in the morning. Come on. Come on, Maureen.
Jesus in the morning.
Doesn't it feel good to praise him? Oh, he loved me ere I knew him.
Hallelujah.
And all my love is due him. He punched me to victory.
Yes.
One more time. Oh, victory in Jesus.
Victory.
It's okay to move. Put your praise on. Hallelujah. Let me tell you a little secret. When the enemy sees your garment of praise, he runs. Hallelujah. Demons tremble at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's something that happens when you get close to the throne of God that transforms you. Hallelujah. And makes you untouchable to the enemy. Hallelujah. Give you all the glory, Lord. Sister Maureen, Camille, come on up here. I feel impressed. You need to come up and close in prayer this morning. Hallelujah. Bless you, sister. Hallelujah. I'll give you another. I'll take that one.
This time, God, that we could come and worship you with all that is within us, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for just coming and dwelling among people, dear God. Father, thank you for your sweet, holy presence, oh God. We thank you for your word, God, that you have imparted into our spirit man today, God. As we go from this place, God, let it germinate, oh God, and bring forth fruits in the name of Jesus. Father, let it bring forth fruits in the name of Jesus. Father, as we go from this place, oh God, let your spirit, God, go before us, oh God, and lead us, oh God, in safe journey to our homes, God. Bless us, oh God, and keep us, oh God, in all that we do and say, oh God, as we journey, oh God, in the spirit together, oh God. May you get the glory. May you get the praise, oh God. May our lips, oh God, continue to give you all the glory, all the praise, oh God. That is due unto your holy name. Father, bless your people. Bless this church, oh God. Bless this house, oh God, because you are the Father of this house. And Father, I pray, God, today, God, that you will bless our pastors, oh God. Bless them, God, in every aspect of their lives, oh God, today, Father God. Father, cover them, oh God. Cover their families, oh God. And may your spirit, oh God, be with us and dwell in and through us, oh God. In Jesus' name, go forth in victory. Go forth in victory. Go forth in victory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday. God bless you.